Hare Krishna. I have a question here, or a few questions, from Chaitanya Lila Devi there. See, she quotes Srimad Bhagavatam, where Lord Shiva is called a bhava, or one who has never felt material miseries. But in the following text, it described that Lord Shiva felt sorry for remembering the harsh words of Daksha, and because he's in charge of a material mode of ignorance, he's sometimes affected by material pain and pleasure. So she wants to know, how is it possible that he never feels material miseries, but then he also is affected by pain and pleasure? And the answer is because he never feels material miseries like we feel material miseries. That's what it means, abhava. He's beyond the type of pleasure and pain that we experience. But mysteriously, although he's a transcendentalist for the purpose of creation and destruction, he comes in contact with the mode of nature and displays the experience of pain and pleasure, as is being stated here. But of course, that pain and pleasure is never like anything that we experience. So we know that Lord Shiva is a unique tattva in that he's like Krishna, but at the same time he's not Krishna. He's Krishna transformed in the same way that milk is transformed by contact with tamarind or something sour into yogurt. The same thing, although by contact with the material mode, Lord Shiva becomes transformed into a unique feature of Krishna, just like yogurt is also a milk product, but still it's different from milk. In the same way, Lord Shiva is different from Krishna, although he's, in one sense, non-different from him. And therefore, the experience of Lord Shiva is a unique one. It's not completely divine, as Krishna's emotions are completely divine, but it's not the emotions that conditions souls experience. And therefore, in order to make that distinction and to clarify that for us, he's called a bhava. Now, your next question is citing the pastime of Pundrik Vidyaniri and Gadadhar Pandit. When Gadadhar Pandit first met Pundrik Vidyaniri, he judged him on the basis of his external conduct, the opulence that he was surrounded with, and couldn't recognize him as a Vaishnava. So, but then later on, Gadadhar Pandit, on seeing Pundrik Vidyaniri's response to hearing Krishna Lila and the great ecstasy that he exhibited, which is only possible for a very advanced soul, recognized that he made his mistake and liquidated that mistake by taking initiation. So her question on this is, how do we know someone's internal bhava when they're showing externally material opulence? How can we judge, or should we judge, someone based on their display of opulence? In other words, judge their spiritual advancement. Best thing is not to be a judge at all, not to make judgments on others. As Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and other acharyas have said, if we're inclined to look for faults in then better we should look in faults in ourselves. And when we recognize those faults and rectify them, then we'll see that the faults of others are not so significant. So we should learn this art, the science of being introspective in this regard, and overlooking such external things, unless they are really something to do with our own spiritual life. Unfortunately, nowadays the facility of internet and just the nature of modern democratic and liberal minded voiced society is such that everyone feels justified to say anything about anyone else, be it justified or not, be it right or not. And as such, the whole atmosphere is really polluted with very bad sound vibration, the sound vibration of criticism. I'm not even talking about Vaishnava circles, although it happens in Vaishnava circles also, but even outside of Vaishnava circles. And that type of critical atmosphere makes very bad background for developing kindness and real tolerance, qualities that are really important for human beings if they're going to progress even materially, what to speak of spiritually. So better not to judge others at all. We may not know what their internal status is. Generally, it's understood that devotees try to live with the bare necessities of life. And what that bare necessities is may vary from one to another. So it may appear like opulence to one person, what is the bare necessity for another. When things become patently outrageous and excessive, then we should know that this is not good sadhusanga, and this reflects a unfavorable internal mood. But unless we're really qualified to make that type of judgment, then, as I mentioned earlier, better stick to the business of rectifying our own faults and seeing if we're living it up to the ideal of what a real Vaishnava should be. Okay, and her last question is, that she says Krishna has many names based upon his pastimes, namely Govinda, Gopinath, and so on. So why is it that Jagannath is called Jagannath? Because that doesn't seem to be based on pastime. But that's not the correct premise. Krishna's names are not just based on his pastimes, but they're based upon his qualities, his powers, his relationship with his devotees, Yashomati Nandan, and so on. And Lord Jagannath is called Lord Jagannath because he's such a mysterious person, although he's such a mysterious person, such a mysterious form of Lord Krishna, although we know that he means that he's the Lord of the universe, but he's the Lord of the universe who takes a very extraordinary form that exhibits the transcendental pleasure that the Lord of the universe gets from hearing about and participating in his own Vrindavan, very human-like pastimes. And he advertises to those who see beyond his universal overlordship he advertises to us that yes, this is the ultimate goal of life, to engage in eternal pastimes in Vrindavan and to hear and chant about those pastimes that he himself participates. Those pastimes are so blissful, Tavakatamritam, they're so full of nectar that even the Lord becomes overwhelmed just by thinking about them, hearing about them, and participating in them. And this is what Sankirtan is all about. Lord Jagannath is this ecstatic form of Lord Krishna, in the same way as Srimati Radha Rani's mood transforms Lord Krishna, and he exhibits the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Lord Jagannath is also in a similar form. He looks different than Krishna, he looks different than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he has this extraordinary bhava or mood. But his bhava is not of Radharani, but his bhava is that of Lord Krishna in excessive ecstasy. Hare Krishna.